Last week, Govind Charan Prabhu had given a very nice class. And sorry, this says wrong, but it's chapter 7. The whole title of this chapter is The Son of Drona Punished. So the whole chapter will start going later on towards the end of this session into the story of Ashwatthama and what had happened. To give a quick recap on the 1 to 7 verses, Srila Vyasadeva explains, Maharaj Parikshit was miraculously saved in the womb of his mother. This was caused by Droni, Ashwatthama, Acharya, Drona's son, who killed the 5 sons of Draupadi while they were asleep, for which he was punished by Arjuna. Further, Srila Vyasadeva was explaining that for spiritual advancement and knowledge, a suitable place and atmosphere are definitely required. So one should not do anything anywhere at any time. You should do it at the right time in the right place. If you say, you know, any time is okay, it doesn't work. And Srila Vyasadeva, it's explained in that chapter how Srila Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. There was nice greenery, there was kusha grass, he was very comfortable, the atmosphere was perfect, and it was the very pious place, pilgrimage place, and that's when he started all this. And it is very crucial for us to also understand, anytime we have association of devotees, that's the best place. Of course, you know, like Seattle Yatra is the best place, but you should not try on doing everything outside on your own, because the association is so crucial. That is what makes a place very pious. The chants, the holy names, the deities, the association. Perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by linking the process of devotional service. Srila Vyasadeva achieved it by linking his mind in engaging in bhakti yoga without a tinge of materialism. It is explained here because he was in the right place at the right time and he had the perfect vision of the absolute truth, and you can only do it by linking devotional service. Srila Vyasadeva was able to do it by engaging in bhakti yoga, and he had no materialism. Because he has no materialism, he was able to link his mind to Lord Krishna. You cannot link your mind to Lord Krishna and know about him without having even a slight tinge of materialism or, you know, something selfish in your mind. The living being is by constitution transcendental to material engagement, but he is now imprisoned by external energy, and therefore he thinks himself one of the material products. And due to this unholy contact, the pure spiritual entity suffers material miseries under the modes of material nature. So it is explained here that we are all encaged in material energies and material modes of material nature. And because of that, we all think we are material products. Basically, we are this body. And because of that, that whole contact is so unholy that our pure spiritual entity suffers, and it suffers material miseries. So pure spiritual entity meaning our soul, which is finally suffering in the end. Our body is going to get vanquished, but because of us thinking being material products, birth after birth, our soul is the one who is suffering. The ways of illusory energy are very stiff to overcome. One who surrenders onto the lotus feet of Krishna is set free by the order of Supreme. This surrendering process is remedial measure for getting relief from the bewildering ways of illusory energy and is completed by the influence of association. So pretty much it says you have to surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, and there is no other way, no other way, no other way. Srimad Bhagavatam is a summum bonum remedy for suffering humanity in the clutches of Maya. Srila Vyasadeva therefore first of all diagnosed the actual disease of the conditional soul and there being illusion by the material energy. He also saw the perfect supreme from whom the illusory energy is far removed. So Srila Vyasadeva, because he is truly the doctor, he was able to diagnose what was the disease, and he also was able to give us the remedy. And he could only do it because his mind was free from all materialism and he was not attached to anything. A doctor is usually very unattached to the patient. The moment the patient has any attachment to the doctor has to step out and not do the main operation. Similarly, Srila Vyasadeva was so detached from materialism that he could actually detect that there was a disease in materialism and how to overcome that disease. It is true for all of us. We all are suffering, but we do not know what our disease is because we think we are perfectly fine and everybody else is jaundiced and we are very happy. The process of devotional service is transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with sincere efforts of his devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. So again, Srila Prabhupada is stressing in here the process of hearing and chanting, and only by that our dormant love can be revived. And it does not depend on the mechanical system, but also it depends on whether the Lord is merciful upon us. We can wholly chant, but if the Lord hasn't found mercy for us, then we have to wait until the Lord. We should not give it up because, oh, Krishna is not listening to me, forget him, I'll go somewhere else, you know, then maybe somebody else. We should wait, because when he showers his mercy on us, it is unlimited. But we have to wait for that mercy. And we should not gauge ourselves on how great we are because we are chanting and all those, and the mercy isn't coming our way. The mercy is coming, we just don't know that it is coming. Krishna is very, very merciful actually, and as he is our eternal father, he does not let us without his mercy. He always gives us his mercy. It's just our own eyes, we do not see his mercy. So this was the recap of last week. Mataji.
Sa samhitam bhagavatim.
कृत्वा नुक्रम्य चात्मजम् सुखम् अध्यापयाम् आस निवृत्ति निरतम् मुनिः. The great sage Vyasadev, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Sukhdev Goswami, who is already engaged in self-realization. The key points on this were, Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentation on the Brahma Sutras or the Vedanta Sutras, and both are compiled by the same author. Although it is especially meant for Paramahansas or those who are totally engaged in self-realization, it works into the depths of the heart of those who may not be worldly men. Basically, Srimad Bhagavatam can affect people who are self-realized and already on the platform of Krishna consciousness, and also those who are not self-realized and barely getting there. One of the prime example is all the kids in our school. They are very attracted to the story of Krishna. And, you know, in all major three classes, we are doing Srimad Bhagavatam stories. And all parents are like, wow, Srimad Bhagavatam stories. Srimad Bhagavatam has so much knowledge in there, but it is very attractive to everybody because it has the pastimes of Krishna. And one of the best things about that personally, I feel, is that when kids hear this story, they start thinking Krishna is the topmost superhero of the universe. And, you know, Spider-Man, Superman cannot compare him. And so it's very attractive to them. Equally, it is attractive to people who are self-realized. Like, we do Srimad Bhagavatam class every morning in the temple. And, you know, all these great elevated personalities are speaking those, and they speak with so much relish. So it is not, Srimad Bhagavatam is not meant for any single set of people. It was compiled before the disappearance of King Parikshit and after the departure of Lord Krishna. Srila Vyasadeva is explaining, and Prabhupada explained in his purport, that Srimad Bhagavatam was written around 5000 years ago. Right before that, Mahabharata was written. And even before that, the Puranas were written. And they were all written, of course, by the same author. Also, it is given a hierarchy. Is Narad Muni first inspired Srila Vyasadeva to write Srimad Bhagavatam? So first instruction came from Narad Muni to Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva taught this to Sri Sukhdev Goswami, who recited it to Parikshit Maharaj, and then Srila Sutta Goswami recited it in the Naimisharanya forest to all the sages. So there is like a small disciplic succession there. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science for following the path of Nivritti Marga, or the Marga of science of self-realization. This is the natural inclination for all conditioned souls. The theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure of materialistic disease of human being, and or stopping completely the pangs of material existence. So for the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about Nivritti Marga, how to self-realize and get on the platform of self-realization. Marga means path. There are, and that is the inclination of any conditioned soul. irrespective of whether devotee or non-devotee, to be in association of Krishna, to be self-realized, that is the natural path. And Srimad Bhagavatam's whole theme is to cure this materialistic disease of the human beings, or stopping the pangs of material existence. So Srila Prabhupada in his class explains, don't be victimized by Mayavadis or so-called Vaishnavas. It is very dangerous. Therefore it is says, Sa Samhitam Bhagavatam Krunavritta Karmya Chatam Jam. The Vedic, in the word by word translation, it is explained that the Vedic literature in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by correction and repetition. So, Sa Samhitam is the Vedic literature, Bhagavatam in the relationship of the Personality of Godhead by correction and repetition. So, Srimad Bhagavatam was written by Vyasadeva and then revised it and made sure that it was as perfect as it could be. And after he did that, he taught it to his son, Suta Goswami, Atmajam, like father, like son. And then Srila Prabhupada adds, there is no difference between son and disciple. Srila Prabhupada used to say that, you know, after he started giving initiation, he had thousands and thousands of sons. He was not sons and daughters. He was not limited to one or two anymore. And he's explaining, and we always treat ourselves as a spiritual master, as spiritual father. You know, we treat that as a spiritual father. So he's explaining there is no difference there. So what is the qualification of Sukhdev Goswami which induced Vyasadeva to teach him this Samhitam? Sukham Adhyapam Asa Nivritti Niratam. He is no more attraction for the material world. That was the only qualification Suta Goswami had. He had no attraction for material world. There are two kinds of life, Nivritti and Pravritti. Pravritti means materialistic. One who is into materialistic activities walks on the Pravritti Marga, and Nivritti Marga is one who is self-realized. Karmis who have got the tendency to enjoy this material world. So the whole Vedic literature is there how to make him stop this Pravritti Marga. Veda Vyas preferred to teach Srimad Bhagavatam to his son Sukhadev Goswami because he Nivritti Niratam. Sukhadev Goswami was not a grammarian, but he learned everything from his father by hearing. Therefore, it is called Shriyamanyam. If you hear from the right person properly, then you become perfect. There is no need of literally education. Therefore, Vedas are called Shruti. This is actually a very crucial point here. You know, it explains the whole parampara system we have. It is, if you hear from the right person properly, then you become perfect. If you hear from the wrong person, you are not perfect. In the schools, you know, when I'm teaching about this parampara system, I always give an example. If you have a teacher and he teaches you 2 plus 2 is 5, whole life you will go with that more, 2 plus 2 is 5. Only someone has to come and explain to you that 2 plus 2 is truly 4. We'll have to ask Gaur Kumar Prabhu to do that, I guess. But if you have the right teacher and that teaches 2 plus 2 is 4, then all your life, your knowledge is perfect. You have no question on why that knowledge is imperfect. In a similar way, all the Vedas should be learned from the right person. So it's very easy, just before, you know, in India especially, or even here, you know, I see parents go out to look for schools and they are always are wondering, what teacher am I getting, you know, because they want to know if the teacher is good enough. And, you know, whether it is going to be great for the school, for their child. And they ask the previous graders that how the teacher is and all kinds of things they want to know. But we never do the same for our spiritual studies. You know, we will go and listen to anybody who is giving a class and come out very impressed. Wow, what a great class. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada used to say, do not listen to people who are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, but they are professionals. They are not speaking from their heart and they are doing it for with money in mind, you know. They will come in their big Mercedes and then give their class and go back in their Mercedes. Their classes are on a very materialistic level and they will not touch your soul or your heart. They may touch you up to some extent, but they will not touch you to change anything. It will be very temporary because their whole thing is so not pure. Even, you know, even by a slight association, even by looking at a pure devotee, we are affected by it. But even by looking at an unpure devotee also, we can be affected by it, you know. Even today, sometimes, you know, we get affected when we go to these all big parties and stuff, which you have to attend with people who are non-devotees and who are, they are doing in this non-devotional platform. And you kind of start wondering, am I doing something wrong? And then you come back in the association and say, oh, thank God, I'm in the right place now, you know. I was affected by it. And, you know, so we should be very careful. There is a famous story of Srila Prabhupada where this, his disciples asked him, can we go in the bar to preach? And Srila Prabhupada, yes, you can go, as per use, you come out back again. So, you know, it is very crucial that, you know, we don't affect it before we jump into these materialistic situations and think that we will come out unaffected. We have to be very careful of our own self, you know. If we have to go into one of those places, maybe we should wake a pure devotee of Krishna and go with them. So at least they will drag us back out, if nothing else. So the punchline that I think on this was that, so Sukadev Goswami is the next Acharya, but one has to learn from the original Acharya. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarsayo viduha. So unless we come to the parampara system, Acharya after Acharya, there is no right education. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's private secretary, personal secretary, Swarup Damodar, he advised, Bhagavata Paragya, Bhagavata Sthane. If you want to learn Srimad Bhagavatam, go to a person whose life is Bhagavatam. Grantha Bhagavata and person Bhagavata, both of them are Bhagavatas. This was actually from one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures.
Shaunaka Uvacha.
Shaunaka Uvacha.
Savai Nivriti Nirataha.
Savai Nivriti Nirataha.
Sarvatro prekshako munihi.
Kasya va bravatim etam. Atma rama samasvyasat. Shri Shaunaka Asuta Goswami. Shri Sukadev Goswami was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? This actually is a very amazing question, I personally felt, is because all of us think, you know, we are so advanced that we don't need to read this and that, and, you know, we know everything. And one of the prime examples I always remember is, I think many of us might remember, you know, when in India there was this great riots that happened during Ayodhya, you know, it was a while ago. And, you know, this one reporter was asking this one young guy who was going out to fight for Ayodhya, and who knows, he might have even lost his life, because, you know, when you go into riots, you never know what's going to happen. And this reporter asked that, why are you going there? Oh, we have to protect Lord Rama's bhumi, and we have to protect Hinduism and our dharma. So the reporter asked, so have you read Ramayana, and do you know what all this is about? He goes, I don't need to read anything. I know everything I need to know, and thereby I'm going to fight. And this he said on the report, and I was shocked when I read that. And that time I was thinking, you know, a lot of us do that. It's because, you know, before coming here also, a lot of us were in that mode, you know. My mother said me to do this, so I'm following certain ritual. My mother, if you ask, why are we doing it? My mother told it to me. Her mother, why? Because we were doing it in our family. Nobody has the clue on why we are doing it. So Swarnaka Rishi is asking this is, you know, why did Asuta Goswami go through the trouble? I mean, you know, this is actually a very, very nice question, I thought. For the people in generation, the highest perfection of life is to cease from material activities and to be fixed on the path of self-realization. Out of thousands and millions of such karmis, one may become an Atmarama or self-realization. Atma means self, and Amarama means take pleasure. So we take pleasure in self-realization. We take pleasure in learning about the soul. We take pleasure in knowing about Krishna and the path of Krishna consciousness and path of liberation. The standard of pleasure enjoyed by karmis is different from that of Atmaramas. The Atmaramas are completely indifferent to material enjoyment in every respect, versus karmis only know material enjoyment. The moment you tell them don't do this, they will be very amazed. Like, how can you not do it? Even coming to the temple is a material enjoyment for them, you know. I hear people, the music's too loud, you know, or there are too many people, I cannot deal with it when I come to the temple, or, you know, there is too much crowd, I cannot sit in peace and quiet. it's all about material. And even when they are standing before the deities, they are always having a list of things they do. I always say, you know, in India, I also used to do this. We used to follow this whole theme of saying hi by God and by God. We would go to the temple, say hi to Krishna, and then we will have a list with us. You know, by the way, I need all this thing, and bye-bye, I need to leave now. And we never had anything more that, you know, tell me how to come closer to you, tell me what can I do for you. There was never a path of what we used to follow. And that is what karmis do. It's not recommended, because it's better to go to ask to Krishna for anything rather than not to ask, doing it in the wrong way. But still, you know, you should not ask for material benefits if you're truly wanting to get out of it. And Atmaramanas are not enjoying in it. They may be here, the liberation, they may be asking for liberation, but the liberation for most of self-realized persons mean not to go back to Godhead or spiritual planet, but to internally be so strongly situated that no matter where you are happy. Srila Vyasadeva was immortal. It is said that he may be still in this material universe, but he's not in material enjoyment. He was away from materialism already, and he might be even compiling more literatures for the generations to come. And so the pleasure is there. There is pleasure with karmis, and the pleasure is also enjoyed by us. But the pleasure is so different that sometimes we are not able to relate to them. Srila Sukadev Goswami had already attained that stage, and he was still attracted to undergo the trouble of studying the great Bhagavatam literature. That means that Srimad Bhagavatam is a postgraduate study even for the Atmaramas, who have surpassed all the studies of Vedic knowledge. It pretty much explains very clearly in here that he was self-realized, but he got so attracted to it. You know, he was just walking in the forest and hearing few verses, he was attracted to it. What to talk about the whole Bhagavatam, which is verse after verse having such deep meaning in it.
Sutta uvacha.
Sutta uvacha.
आत्मा रामश्च मुनयो
निर्ग्रन्ता अपि उरुक्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहेतुकीं भक्तिम् इत्थं भूता गुणो हरिः. All different variety was Atmaramas who take pleasure in Atma or self-spirit, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service onto the personality of Godhead. That means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So people who are on self-realization, they are not free from desires, but the desires are just channeled to please the Lord. It never says that, you know, because you're on self-realization you have no desires, because we are inherently have a mind, and our mind is always going to want something, but our want now changes to desire service to Krishna, to please Krishna, and thereby we ourselves are also pleased. The Atmaramas render devotional service onto the Lord, not for personal interest, but for the pleasure of the Lord. Sukadev Goswami was attracted by the transcendental pastime of the Lord. Sukadev Goswami was already situated in the liberated state, yet he was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. That proves that the quality of the Lord's pastime has nothing to do with the material affinity. So, Sukadev Goswami was already attracted to the Lord, and he was in a liberated state, yet he was attracted to the Lord pastime because it has nothing to do with material things. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is on a transcendental level, and therefore it is very attracted to devotees as well as non-devotees, because it gives peace and a lot of kind of peace and self-satisfaction internally to a person. So that is what Sukadev Goswami found in Srimad Bhagavatam, and he wanted to continue this. By remembering the Lord in acute distress, one can be free from all varieties of miseries and anxieties. Gradually the Lord vanquishes all obstacles on the path of devotional service of the pure devotee, and the result of 9 devotional activities such as hearing and chanting become manifested. Unalloyed devotional service of the Lord progresses in different stages. Practice of devotional service in material field is of 81 different qualities, and above such activities is the transcendental practice of devotional service, which is one and is called sadhana bhakti. So in this verse, it is explained very clearly that you keep walking on the devotional path and Lord will vanquish all the obstacles on our devotional service. Doesn't mean there will be no obstacles. We will face obstacles. We will not treat them as obstacles. It will become very easy for us to deal with those obstacles. I was reading a story. I'm not sure who had sent it to me, but there was this one Prabhu in, I think it was in New York, and he was suffering from this major disease, and it was definite he would die. And the condition of the disease, it was cancer, but it was also something else with it. And the condition of that disease was such that it was super painful, and anybody who had gone through it, he would be in major pain. But because he was so self-situated, and this person was not even a literary person, he was a very simplistic person. If you go look at him, you will wonder, does he even know the scriptures? But he was so steadily situated in Krishna that a lot of people would describe him as he was the most amazing person. Lot of people, you know, in the ghettos of New York, he had affected them and brought them to Krishna consciousness despite of him suffering with this disease. It is because it was not that he didn't have an obstacle. He was, yes, Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. And even Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, if you look at him, right, people remember him that despite of what he was suffering, his whole shoulder had broken because of the tumor in there. I cannot even imagine having a small crack in my one bone. Forget about having a dislocated shoulder with a tumor in it, which is going to be throbbing. And he was giving class standing out there, and he had that guts to do it, you know. And not that he was not in obstacles, but I'm sure he never blamed Krishna. Why did you put me in this? He rather, I remember in one of his classes saying, he put me in this and he is purifying me more, because he's telling me how can I go beyond this material pain that I have. So he takes away the obstacles, because he's give us the strength to overcome all this material anxiety we have. It's not material anxiety doesn't have. Lot of us have this habit when something happens, oh Krishna, and then, you know, immediately we feel that peace internally, and then we are able to come up with a solution more objectively, rather than becoming like, oh my God, what am I going to do next? Which is lot of times what materialistic people do, because they don't know how to deal with the situation and they lose their calm. So it is explained here that he will vanquish, but we have to just focus on our nine processes and it will become manifested within us. This verse, I had actually kept the internet open especially for this. I could not do this whole thing. But if you have time on this verse, chapter 10, it is explained that there are 81 things that are explained. And Srila Prabhupada has taken this from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, explained this shloka very vividly in one of this, and he points out every word in a very amazing way. There was no way I could have taken all this and finished this whole class in an hour, but I would recommend you to read this. And you know, there are so many things we can get from this, like every verse, every word he's explained into this, and he has not gone out of it. In fact, he tells here, you know, that this is what this whole verse is. It is very beautiful. If you have time, please take a moment to read this. When unalloyed practice of sadhana bhakti is matured into transcendental love for the Lord, the transcendental loving service of the Lord begins gradually, developing to nine progressive stages of loving service under the headings of attachment, love, affection, feelings, affinity, adherence, following, ecstasy, and intense feelings of separation. In this verse, Prabhupada also explains the different rasas. And what stage do you progress as you go into all rasas? He explains that when one is in Shanta Rasa, the attachment of an inactive devotee develops up to the stage of transcendental love for the Lordhead. So when you are in inactive mode, then that is all you will reach. Dasya Rasa, attachment of an active servitor develops up to the stage of adherence or devotion. So they will do various devotional activities for the Lord in the Dasya Bhava. Sakya Rasa for a friendly devotee develops the stage of following, and Vatsalya also develops the stage of following. So friends and parents follow the stage of following. Madhurya Rasa, the devotees in conjugal love develop ecstasy up to the stage of intense feelings of separation, like the gopis. They were always in extreme ecstasy with Krishna, and even when Krishna was with them, they would feel separated if he was not focused on them. Or, you know, he would be talking about something and they would start thinking, oh my God, what will happen when Krishna leaves? And they would feel that separation. Of course, there is a lot of beautiful songs and stories written on how gopis were feeling that separation.
So is there a connection between or correspondence between those nine stages, love, affection, feelings, affinity, mm-hmm. and so on, to these four? Because the first one, Santa, is takes you only up to love.
Yep.
Dasya takes you up to love, affection, feelings, affinity.
And it brings up to adherence.
Only up to adherence, okay.
Yeah.
Sakya.
You bring up to following. And then you go into ecstasy and intense.
Vatsalya is ecstasy.
Following. Both are following.
Okay. And Madhurya is ecstasy.
Ecstasy and intense feeling of separation. Yeah. You slowly move forward. Of course, you know, it's...
Thank you, Mataji, for the blessing.
Now, for this one, I wish you go all the way to Madhurya Prabhu. Of course, Ramapada Maharaj, once I asked him, you know, can you behave in a rasa that you are inherently, you know, we have a rasa within us that we will always behave in a certain way. We are relationship with Krishna. You know, our relationship with Krishna is predetermined. So does that change? And he goes, it doesn't have to change. You just keep progressing to reach that relationship. So Yashoda Maya would never wish to come into Madhurya Bhava. She was very happy up to that point. And, you know, that was the ultimate for her. Uddhava never wanted to go further, you know. He was very happy to be the Sakya or even up to Dasya. He was kind of mixed. He would serve Krishna, but he was one of the closest friends of Krishna also. So, you know, they are very happy in that relationship. They don't want to go further. And people who are in Madhurya, you know, they are in Madhurya, you know. They get everything. So, but Krishna needs all the rasas. So, we should not worry about any specific rasa we should go into. Srila Prabhupada Vacha, so Krishna is Purna in every aspect, and if we take to Krishna consciousness, shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, Savai Muna Krishna Padara Bin. Thank you. If we fix our mind always on lotus feet of Krishna, then everything will follow perfectly. That is Prabhupada telling us that, you know, Krishna has promised this to us. Tesham Satatam Yuktanam Bhajantam Preeti Purvakam. If one is engaged always in love and affection, not as official love, ecstatic love, spontaneous, that is wanted. That example is here in Vrindavan. At least as we get information of Vrindavan from the Shastras, from Srimad Bhagavatam, how spontaneously the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis and the cowherd boys and the birds, beasts, the cows, animals and trees, everyone, even the flies, the bees, insect and even the dust and the grass, everyone is, they are all Chinmaya, spiritual. They are not material, but they are attracted to Krishna in different varieties. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that all these things at place in Krishna's pastime. And so we should not worry that our place is not up to the gopi bhav. You know, Krishna has need for all these things, and we should just be happy that we are around Krishna. If we always fix our mind on lotus feet of Krishna, then everything will follow perfectly and you don't have to worry about anything. Mataji.
Harir
guna kshipta matir.
Bhagavan Badarayani.
Bhagavan Badarayani.
Adhyagan Mahat Akhyanam.
Adhyagan Mahat Akhyanam.
Nityam Vishnu Jana Priyaha.
Nityam Vishnu Jana Priyaha. Srila Sukhdev Goswami, son of Srila Vyasadeva, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also a dear devotee of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration, Srimad Bhagavatam. According to Brahmavritta Purana, Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul even within the womb of his mother and did not stray home. Srila Vyasadeva impressed upon him the synopsis of the Bhagavatam so that the child would be made attached to the transcendental activities of the Lord. The idea is that generally liberated souls are attached to the feature of impersonal Brahman with a monistic view of becoming one with the Supreme Whole. But by the association of pure devotees like Vyasadeva, even the liberated souls become attracted to the transcendental qualities of the Lord. By the mercy of Sri Narada, Srila Vyasadeva was able to narrate the great epic of Srimad Bhagavatam, and by the mercy of Vyasadeva, Srila Sukadeva Goswami was able to grasp the import. The transcendental qualities of the Lord are so attractive that Srila Sukadeva Goswami became detached from being completely absorbed in impersonal Brahman and took up the personal activity of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining very beautifully here that Sukadeva Goswami was in fact an impersonalist when he was born from the womb of his mother, because he was not attracted to anything. He was just thinking, I want no attraction, and he walked away. Srila Vyasadeva, having already written Srimad Bhagavatam, knew what the attraction to the personal feature of the Lord is, and he wanted the same to be understood by his own son, Sukadeva Goswami. So he gave that whole literature to Sukadeva Goswami, who became attracted even to that literature. So Prabhupada explains that mostly they are not attracted, but when they hear this in this pure form, even those people are attracted by the transcendental qualities of the Lord. What to talk about liberated and self-conscious people, self-realized people, they are already going to be attracted. Sukadeva Goswami was attracted to the impersonalism, but he took up the full personal activity of the Lord just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, but also it says here by the mercy of Vyasadeva and Narad Muni. So it didn't happen just by hearing, but he needed that mercy of a pure devotee in order to come to that personal level of the Lord. It explains further, Srila Prabhupada explains, he was thrown from the impersonal conception of the absolute and he realized the transcendental bliss with the personal feature, then the impersonal. And from that time, not only did he himself become very dear to the Vishnu Janas or the devotees of the Lord, but also the Vishnu Janas became very dear to him. So the moment he lost the impersonal conception, all the Vishnu Janas became very dear to him, because now they were speaking the same language. And so they could relate to what was being spoken. And Prabhupada explains in that next line itself, the devotees of the Lord who do not wish to kill the individuality of the living entities and desire to become personal servitors of the Lord, they do not like the impersonalist. Similarly, the impersonalist who desire to become one with the Supreme are unable to evaluate the devotees of the Lord. So he is explaining why do the personalist and the impersonalist do not like each other, because they do not speak the same language, you know. It is crows versus quail or something. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. But, you know, we don't understand the language of impersonalists because we are so attracted to the deity form here, you know. Every time we see, oh, Radharani looks so beautiful, Krishna looks so beautiful, it's a personal feature. And the personal qualities, the personal pastimes, which attracts us so much to the Lord. And we never want to become one with the Lord because of that. We also always want to stay his servant. And because Sukadeva Goswami became so devoted to the personal feature of the Lord, he became very dear to Vishnu Janas and the devotees of the Lord, and the Vishnu Janas also became very dear to him. So it explains, it appears that Srila Sukadeva Goswami had no liking for the devotees because he was an impersonalist. But since he himself became a saturated devotee, he desired always the transcendental association of the Vishnu Janas, and the Vishnu Janas also liked his association since he became a personal Bhagavata. So nothing is impossible, you know. Sukadeva Goswami is so perfect within himself. So if he was an impersonalist, he was a perfect impersonalist. But just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he became a perfect transcendentalist and a perfect devotee of the Lord. He became a personal Bhagavata. And so, you know, if we keep preaching, who knows how many people we can also affect. But it is explained here that Vishnu Janas Once you become a Vishnujana, you always desire the association of them. And it is likewise, they also desire your association of you.
Parikshito itarajarshe.
Parikshito itarajarshe.
Janma karma vilapanam.
Janma karma vilapanam.
Samstam cha pandu putranam.
Samstam cha pandu putranam.
Vakshe Krishna Kato Gayam.
Vakshe Krishna Kato Gayam. Suta Goswami thus addressed the rishis headed by Shaunaka. Now I shall begin the transcendental narration of the Lord Shri Krishna and the topics of birth and activities and the deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage amongst the kings, as well as the topics of renunciation of the worldly order by the sons of Pandu. Lord Krishna, he is so kind to the fallen souls that he personally incarnates himself amongst the different kinds of living entities and takes part with them in daily activities. So, you know, we always, many of us, I mean, not in this group, of course, but, you know, in Kali Yuga, we say Krishna is not personally with us, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clarified very clearly that he is always with us in his holy names. His holy name is not different than him. And so anytime we are chanting the holy name, he is with us. That means he is daily with us in all our activities, because most of us, you know, in all times, we are somehow or the other thinking about Krishna. And so he incarnates within his holy names. And he is always with us, even to the fallen souls. That is the reason, you know, in yuga after yuga, he decreased the standards so that he could be with us, because he know the standards of the living entities were going to decrease. And as we were going to progress in Kali Yuga, the standards of any of the previous yugas would not be maintained by anybody. And he says, you know, don't worry, chant my name, and that's all I'm asking you. Don't worry about anything else. You will chant your name, you will get affected by it, and don't worry about anybody else. And so he is so kind to us. Only we think that he is not, he is very unkind to us, you know. Sometimes he shows us, he puts us into Maya. It is not because he wants us to stay in Maya, but it's called tough love, you know, because we are so rigid in our ways that we do not want to go to the lotus feet of Krishna. So he then takes help of Maya Devi and puts us in this whole illusionary process, and even within that, he is helping us to come out of it in every possible way. He is saying, you have these lousy desires, go fulfill them, and you know, you will realize how foolish you were, and you will come back to me, and I will give you means to fulfill your desires, and I will give you the right way to fulfill them, so that you do not incur sins for them. So people who love me, they are actually given animal bodies, so they do not incur sins for what is happening to them. At the same time, they finish all their lust for these lousy desires they have, and then they are given the human form. But unluckily for us, you know, even the human form, we carry our animalistic nature, and thereby we are not able to get out of it. He is giving us every possible way to come back to him, and we are the one, we are like not able to let go of this dirty things, you know, the mala, as Prabhupada called, the dirty things we have within ourselves. We are so attached to them. We have to figure out how to get out of it. Without Krishna, all the supplementary literatures like the Puranas and the Mahabharatas are simply stories or historical facts. But with Krishna, they become transcendental. And when we hear of them, we at once become transcendentally related to the Lord.
Mataji, question on the previous line. You said the standards are falling yuga after yuga. So when the souls are reclaimed and redeployed at the beginning of Satyuga,
they will start going back, right? Because Krishna is going to re-establish.
Don't have those standards.
Krishna is re-establishing the dharma at the end of Kali Yuga. I'm assuming, everybody please correct me. I'm going by hypothesis here. But if Krishna is coming as Lord Kali, and here at every time he takes incarnation, he vanquishes irreligion and brings religion back. So, you know, then there will be that whole process which will start again. But of course, you know, at the Satyuga, the standards will be very high. But of course, not everybody is going to get liberated in Satyuga. Otherwise, we all would never be here. Correct? So, not everybody will be at that, as the souls are not going to be at that level. You know, we will still carry that Amala with us. But we will still be in the Satyuga, where the religiosity is very high. Because everybody who is unreligious is going to be vanquished, and they will take some or the other lower form. They will not definitely take human form, of course. right? Plus they will go in this holding area for a long time, and hopefully that holding area will be a purificatory process for them. I'm hoping. If I was put in jail, I hope, of course I'm in jail right now, but there is no purification happening, so I don't know. I'm hoping that there is some purification. So anybody have any comment on that? Because we are in Kali Yuga, we are so contaminated. I'm looking at everybody here. How will we become pure by the time we reach Sati Yuga? All we can hope is Kalaki kills us, and just because we see him, even while getting killed, we'll be purified. Because I have no other way for purification right now.
But whatever process we are following here will purify us, right? Chanting and serving and all that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but by the end of Kali Yuga, those things will go away. Right, Prabhupada is predicting as Kali Yuga progresses, there will be no place even to buy a vegetarian meal. There will be no plants left for people to eat, and people who want to practice any kind of religiosity will have to go far away places because they won't be able to follow in the mainstream life. The life itself will be so short. In fact, you know, you think about it, you know, we are very proud of the life expectancy in America, but if you go in other countries, like prime example Afghanistan, the life expectancy is not even 50 years there. By 20 years you have lived half your life in many cases. And you know, so
Somalia is 40.
Yeah, Afghanistan 40, 35, 40. So it's like, you know, we are thinking the life expectancy is high because we are living in this place where, you know, we have a lot more facilities, but it's truly not high. You go to India and you talk about people there, correct? They will think like, oh my God, I'm in my 60s and 70s, they think old. In America, if the spouse dies at 70, they will think, oh, I have still 20 more years to live. I need to remarry. You know, that's the first thing. I have all these colleagues, you know, they talk at work. Yeah, just yesterday my colleague was talking, yeah, my wife's dad and his wife were here. That means obviously they were divorced and now, you know, they were married to a whole different set of people. And, you know, that's very common. It's just unreal for us to even think in that context. But, you know, they think life expectancy is very high. And, you know, life expectancy is decreasing. Lot of other things are increasing. If you look, you know, the bad things, meat eating, gambling. I mean, all those things are increasing all over the place. I mean, you know, Seattle, we never used to hear casinos. And now, you know, everywhere I walk, there is a casino ad like Tulalip, come and play and enjoy a game of gambling. And all kinds of nonsensical stuff out there. So, you know, Kali Yuga is progressing very fast. So, you know, when Kalki will come, obviously he's going to have a lot more to kill than what he had did in the previous Yugas, because he'll have to pretty much kill everybody in that context, if you think. So, hopefully, you know, if he kills, then by seeing him, we'll be purified, even if we don't know him.
So, the process itself, it purifies us.
Plus who knows, at the very start of Sati Yuga, how many human forms will be born also? I don't know that. Yeah. Usually, you know, when you hear about this evolution theory, you know, there were no humans existing at all. You know, everything was an animal. And then slowly humans evolved. Of course, I don't believe that. But, you know, who knows? So, you know, what purification we'll have to go through.
So, these yuga cycles are within one brahmanda, right? Mm. But the souls can move across brahmandas. And they follow different cycles at a different time. So, one may jump from Kali Yuga to Kali Yuga, if that's what they deserve.
Could be.
So, we are not limited to one
brahmanda. Total devastation, right? At the end of
that brahmanda, right?
Total,
not the whole material. Oh, the whole material. Yeah.
I think probably his question is, if the soul's consciousness is so degraded, it didn't even make it in Kali Yuga, and then the standards are again increased in Satya Yuga, how does the same soul that didn't make it in Kali Yuga can achieve a higher standard? So,
I don't think they will be born in human form if they were so degraded, because of course lower animals are also needed. And, you know, they can enjoy their animalistic things after that. And then eventually, you know, because there is so much purity around them, they will be able to go higher and higher in Sati Yuga. At least I think. But again, we are thinking, which we shouldn't do, right? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
good question. Okay, sir. Can ask her.
Krishna and his pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are on the same plane. Krishna is not without his devotees in all the rasas, and the pure devotees like Pandavas are not without Krishna. And so, you know, none of us are without Krishna at any time. Paramatma is already residing within us, and we are not sometimes on the same plane. You know, Prabhupada explains two birds on the same branch, but one is so busy chirping around, he's not looking at the person standing next to him because he's so busy in his own world. And so we never see Paramatma within us. But the moment we become devotees of Krishna, then we are on the same plane that we understand that what Krishna desires and what we should do. It's not like we are on the same level of Krishna, but we understand Krishna's desires are to serve him, and thereby we definitely take the position of a servant, and we do not want to become a master. So Krishna is never without his devotees in any of the rasas, and the pure devotees like Pandavas are never without Krishna. The devotees and the Lord are interlinked and they cannot be separate. Therefore, talks about them are all Krishna Katha, or topics of the Lord. This is very amazing. Is, you know, whenever we talk about Krishna, we can also talk about his various advanced devotees, and they are all interlinked. There is no, like, you know, it's a chain. You cannot break the chain. And so when we talk about pastimes of various devotees of the Lord, they are also Krishna Katha. It's not like just because you have to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamritam or Bhagavad Gita all the time. You can also go and talk about his devotees, the six Goswamis, Pandavas, all those people, you know, Lord Bhishmadev, they are all so interlinked, they are all Krishna Katha. Because in the end, they only glorify Krishna. Because Krishna only glorifies his devotees. And so if you glorify Krishna's devotees, you already become more closer to Krishna. Krishna always says, serve my devotees and I will be even more happy. That's the reason we serve Radharani more than Krishna. It's because, you know, we know that it's easier to convince Radharani of anything than it is to Krishna. And same for his devotees, because they are so merciful. And anything we talk about Krishna, anything we do for the devotees of Krishna, it's all going to Krishna directly, because Krishna will be even more pleased when we serve them. That's why we say dasanu dasanu das, right? Srila Prabhupada explains in this, and I'm going to go a little fast here, is Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana. Amala meaning mala, dirty things, and Amala meaning without any dirty things. The dirty things are the modes of material nature, sattva, rajo and tamoguna. Because it is material, it is called mala or dirty. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala without material contamination, because it is simply narration of Bhagwan and Bhagwan's devotee, Bhagavata and Bhakta. Therefore, it is named Bhagavatam, dealings between the Supreme Law, Personality of Godhead and his devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam. You cannot make any spiritual progress by simultaneously acting impiously and at the same time. Sure, it will go. This was taken directly, so I didn't want to change anything. But it will go very slow. Just like if you have got dry wood, then the fire ignites very easily. And if you bring wet fuel, it takes time. Of course, as soon as there is fire, the wetness of the fuel will dry, but it will take extra energy. And if you put dry fuel, it ignites very easily. So in order to keep us dry without being wetted by the impious activities, the spiritual progress will be very quick. We should remember that. Actually, if we want to be advanced in Krishna consciousness, it is our duty to keep ourselves dry from material wetness. Do you want to skip the verse and just go direct? It's running late. Yeah. When the respective warriors of both camps, namely the Kauravas and the Pandavas, were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and the dead warriors obtained their deserved destinations, and when the son of Dhritarashtra fell down lamenting, his spine broken, being beaten by the club of Bhimasena, the son of Dronacharya Ashwatthama beheaded the five sleeping sons of Draupadi and delivered them as a prize to his master, foolishly thinking that he would be pleased. Duryodhana, however, disapproved of this heinous act, and he was not pleased in the least. So Prabhupada has detailedly explained in here that both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendental topics of Lord Krishna. Gita is Krishna Katha, or the topics of the Lord, and Bhagavat spoken by the Lord. Bhagavatam is also Krishna Katha, but it is spoken about the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted everyone to be informed about both these kathas by his order. So he didn't want us to select, you learn one and not the other. Lord Chaitanya desired that all who are born in India seriously understand such Krishna kathas, and then after full realization, preach the transcendental message to everyone in all parts of the world. So Prabhupada explained, to become a Vaishnava is not so easy thing. One has to become Brahmana. And then when he surpasses the stages of becoming Brahmana, then he becomes Vaishnava. Sudha Sattva. Sattvam Vishnudam Vishvasudeva Shabditam. When then Krishna is born. When one comes to the Vaishnava sage, then he can understand what is Krishna. Just like Krishna was born of Vasudeva. Similarly, one comes to the stage of Vasudeva. Vasudeva means perfect Vaishnava. So the Pandavas are pure devotees. Therefore, Krishna took his side and they became victorious in fight. And Krishna is always ready to give protection to his devotees. Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. His Sudarshan Chakra always protects his devotee. That is the position of the devotee. Just in the translation, as Prabhupada explained, I'll just go back to the translation real quick. And I think it is being said further. But one of the things that, over the whole Mahabharata, I have never admired Duryodhan for anything, because he was a very selfish person. But this was one act I truly admired him, that he was lying on the deathbed. His only desire was to vanquish the Pandavas, and he had no other desire. But he was a true Kshatriya by the heart, because, at that time when he saw the sons of Draupadi being killed, he could have also enjoyed it, like Ashwatthama, that yes, now Pandavas will suffer the same thing because all my sons were also killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. But rather than that, he kind was very displeased by this act of Ashwatthama, and he completely disregarded, and he says, I do not accept this whole act of what you have done by killing the sons of Pandavas. And at that time I felt that, though Duryodhan being of a demonic nature, he still had some goodness in him, because he was able to do this. He was very selfish by his nature, and that was his whole act during the whole Mahabharata, the role that Krishna had cast him. But even in his act, he has this purity in him that he was not. So sometimes, we disregard people looking around us, that they are impure, they are not worth my attention. But everybody has some tinge of goodness in him. Now, it's our own eyes that we cannot see them, It's our own quality. I see lot of times, people out there, even in bad, they're able to see something good in them. And, it's an amazing quality that we should also develop, because, we have so much bias within us that we could not see something good in the other person. And to see that good, that how Duryodhana was able to see bad in bad and good in good, at least in his last minute, was just an amazing thing. And of course, everybody knows this story about what had happened and how Duryodhan was killed and how Bhimasena killed him. And he was lying in a very kind of pained state, because he was not dead. He was waiting to die with his whole thighs being broken, and none of his other parts of the body are broken. So he was pretty much dying through his thighs. And he was waiting for death to come and take him. And it was a long tortured death. He was sitting there. And despite of that, he had his senses in place. And, I just pray that when I die, I have at least some of my senses in place, that, I'm able to make the right decisions. Of course, for what Ashwatthama did, there is the whole story pretty much starts right now. Draupadi, the mother of the five children of Pandavas, after hearing the massacre of her sons, began to cry in distress with eyes full of tears. Trying to pacify in her great loss, Arjuna spoke to her thus, O gentle lady, when I present you with the head of that Brahmana, after beheading him with arrows from my Gandiva bow, I shall then wipe the tears from your eyes and pacify you. Then after burning your son's body, you can take your bath standing on his head. Obviously, Draupadi, you know, she had 5 sons and they were killed in one shot, you know, and especially at a time when she never thought they would be killed, and Subhadra's son was already killed, Abhimanyu was killed much before. So she didn't even know how to lament with loss of 5 sons and so with so much injustice. And of course Arjuna knew how that had happened, and Arjuna knew what had happened and that Ashwatthama had killed them wrongly in their sleep, which is definitely not an act of Kshatriya. He promised that I will kill this Brahmana. He did not sit there and think he is a Brahmana, I cannot kill him. It was an act of irreligiousness, and Arjuna had vowed to wipe irreligiosity with under Krishna's direction, and he said, I will kill that Brahmana. I will not care for what happens to me when I kill the Brahmana. In the similar way, it is for us also, you know, we should not think on our thing which is right or wrong for us. You know, we think that, oh, I shouldn't do it because it is not right, I shouldn't do it because it is incorrect or wrong. We should rather follow the scriptures and do what is right and what is wrong, you know. Lot of times we say, I am not qualified for a certain thing, I cannot do this thing. But rather we should take that as a mercy from Krishna. Nothing comes to us without the mercy of Krishna. It is coming to us because Krishna is giving us the mercy. So don't stop there and think for your qualification and your degrees that you have held in there. Don't start and refer to them and you waste your time doing it. You know, jump on anything that comes and Krishna will provide you the rest. If you lack ability to work in a certain thing, he will provide for you because he provides what you lack. But we need to have the faith in what we need to do. Do what Krishna wants us to do, not what we think we want to do. And that will give us in such a great position. Like Arjuna, he didn't, the whole battle of Kurukshetra, he never even thought one time, what do I want to do? He knew this is what Krishna wanted from him. And he killed his own grandsire, whom he loved like anything. He was crying when he was putting bows in the body of Bhishma Dev, but that didn't stop him from doing what was right at that time. He did it because he knew it was done, you know. And after Ashwatthama went, he didn't go into deep thing that, oh my God, I lost my son, I don't want to fight anymore, and he was killed so unjustly. He didn't think of those things. He continued fighting, and he even was not going to be the king. You know, it was for Yudhishthira he was fighting. He was fighting under the direction of Lord Krishna, just thinking, this is my duty and I will do it. And that comes for all of us. You know, oftentimes we are so busy thinking about what I want to do, not what Krishna wants me to do. And thereby we miss so much opportunity. In Gujarati, there is a saying, in the end it means that if Mother Lakshmi is coming to your door, don't go inside to wash your face. Just welcome her first, you know. So we should also be very careful about that. If service is coming towards us, don't start looking for qualifications or whether you should or shouldn't, or do you need to ask this person. First take on it and then figure out. Ask other person how to do it. But a lot of times, you know, I hear this all around me. Oh, I don't know if I'm qualified to do this. I don't know if I should do it. Don't do that. Jump into it because you are getting the mercy because Krishna wants you to do it. But if you are waiting back and thinking about it, then Krishna will say, take your time. This other person's ready, I will go there. Let me know when you are ready and I'm ready for you. So, you know, which may be a long time. The key points in this is, an enemy who sets fire to the house, administers poison, attacks all of a sudden with deadly weapons, plunders wealth and usurps agricultural fields, or entices one's wife, is called an aggressor. Such an aggressor, though he be a Brahmana or a so-called son of Brahmana, has to be punished in all circumstances. Arjuna knew well that Ashwatthama was the son of a Brahmana, but because the so-called Brahmana acted like a butcher, he was taken as such, and there was no questioning of sin in killing such a Brahmana's son who proved to be a villain. So Prabhupada clearly explains that, you know, there is no such thing as not killing a person whether he is a Brahmana or not. In his purport and one of his lectures, he also explains that Ashwatthama, though he was a son of Brahmana, he had accepted a master. If you look in the previous verse, I had said he presented the heads of the sons of Draupadi to his master, which was Duryodhan. Ashwatthama, by accepting a master, had already discarded his main religion, which was being a Brahmana, because Brahmana doesn't accept a master. He has no master except Lord Krishna. But Ashwatthama had behaved in a different way because he accepted Duryodhan as a master. Despite of that, he was still up to some extent a Brahmana, because he was born of a very elevated Brahmana, Dronacharya, and that is what Prabhupada is explaining. But the so-called son of Brahmana has to be punished. So it is very amazing that Prabhupada says this, because he says even if he is a Brahmana in Ashwatthama, he is the so-called son, because he truly didn't behave as a son of Dronacharya when he committed this heinous act, or even went and took Duryodhan as his master. You know, he didn't commit in any way to befit him as a son of a great warrior and a Brahmana, which is Dronacharya. And you know, that also explains that Dronacharya was a true Brahmana, but he was also a Kshatriya. And you can be both, you can perform in both capacities, because Dronacharya had accepted the training of the Kauravas, but he had not taken anybody as the master. The only reason he fought the battle of Kurukshetra on the Kaurava side, because he thought that, you know, the Kauravas had given him shelter for such a long time, and he owed it to them. Same for Krupacharya, he was the Raja Rishi, and he felt that he owed to them. Then, despite of the fact they knew they were fighting irreligiousness, is, you know, and they suffered because of that, because they fought irreligiousness. Same for Bhishmadev. I just told the story of Bhishmadev to my class a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling them that Bhishmadev was the most amazing person, but there was only one decision he took wrong in his life, that he decided to upkeep his own word above Krishna. Krishna's word was always support religiousness, and Bhishmadev's word was he will support whoever is on the throne of Hastinapur. And he, by that, he did not support Krishna, and he support his own vow towards the end. And he knew that it was wrong, but he decided to do that. And I told them, you know, even if you give your word to somebody, if your word is going to follow the path of irreligiousness, never ever think about detracting your vow. There is nothing wrong in it, because your words are not written in stone, but Krishna's are, and that's the only word that one should follow. And oftentimes, you know, we think, and you know, Kshatriyas always think, you know, my word is the best. You know, even today's world, lot of these Thakurs and all, they fight because of a single word or a vow they have taken. I'm not sure who is a Thakur here, so don't hold me to it, but you know, you see those things, like one thing wrong happened and one person took a vow that I will vanquish everybody and they will be my enemies for life, and you know, the wars go on for such a long time. Oftentimes the reason for the war is forgotten, the reason for the vow is forgotten, but the vows go on. And you know, it is our true duty to figure out what is the reason of what we are following. And if needed, we should break it. If any kind of vow, if it does not let me follow Krishna consciousness, doesn't matter what my vow is. It can be to my mother, my father, my brother. If the vow is not following Krishna consciousness, then our only duty is to our self, which is our soul, which is truly linked to Krishna. And do a favor to our own soul, and don't follow things which don't jive in the name of family, in the name of job, in the name of anything, because there is no other need but the word of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is explaining in here, and I will only go to the highlighted point, that those who are in Krishna consciousness, they have no material suffering, and never take any benefit from Krishna. Simply try give the benefit to Krishna. In between, he is explaining here that Pandava, actually, you know, I will read this. This is very beautiful what Prabhupada is explaining. Kirtimali is Arjuna. So they were directly connected with Krishna. Draupadi's another name is Krishna, and they still had to suffer material pangs. Not that because one is Krishna conscious, there will be no material suffering. Actually, those who are Krishna conscious, they have no material suffering. Although it appears that they are suffering, they are not suffering. They can accept any so-called suffering and accept it as the mercy of Krishna. They never take it as suffering. A devotee, when he is suffering, so-called suffering, he accepts it as mercy of Krishna. He And he rather thanks Krishna that I had to suffer many more times, but you have minimized it, giving me a little suffering. So it is your mercy. And if anyone lives on that attitude, everything is taken as Krishna's mercy, then he is guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. Mukti padasa daya bhak means he is going back home, back to Godhead, is exactly like the inheritance of property by son. Mukti padesa daya bhak. So we should learn from the Pandavas that Krishna is always present with them. Still, they had to suffer so much material tribulations. So they were never unhappy, neither they requested Krishna that, my dear friend Krishna, you are always with us, still we had to suffer. Never express that. That is pure devotion. Never try to take any benefit from Krishna. Simply try to give benefit to Krishna. Do not take any benefit from Krishna. That is pure devotion. Prabhupada explains this very nicely about the position of Pandavas and how we should actually behave also. This is the last verse. Arjuna, who is guided by the infallible Lord as friend and driver, thus satisfied the dear lady by such statements. He then dressed her in armor and armed himself with furious weapons, getting into his chariot and set out to follow Ashwatthama, the son of his martial teacher. Again, this verse had no purport. I couldn't find any Prabhupada's lectures on it. Of course, you know, it is such a self-explanatory word that even when he was going to kill Arjuna, Ashwatthama, Arjuna took Krishna with him. And of course, you know, the rest of the verses will follow on how the battles were carried out and how they shot various arrows at each other. And it's an amazing story on how Krishna protected Arjuna and the whole universe, of course, at the time, despite of the fact that Ashwatthama was so foolish. You know, Ashwatthama was very foolish in his whole behavior. And, you know, one would have thought that Duryodhan rejected his gift of the 5 heads of Draupadi's son. One would have thought he should have gained some of his sense at that time and maybe asked mercy or take his punishment in a true Kshatriya form. But he was such a coward through and through that, you know, he did all kinds of nonsensical stuff in trying to save his own self, and because of which, you know, he is suffering even today living around. So the session summary. Srimad Bhagavatam is a science for following the path of Nivritti Marga, the path of self-realization. If you hear from the right person properly, then you become perfect. There is no need for any literary education. Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study even for Atmaramas who have surpassed all the studies of Vedic knowledge. Sukhdev Goswami was attracted by the transcendental pastime of the Lord. Sukhdev Goswami was already situated in the liberated stage. Yet he was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. That proves that the quality of the Lord pastime has nothing to do with material affinity. By remembering the Lord in acute distress, one can be free from all varieties of miseries and anxieties. Gradually, the Lord vanquishes all obstacles on the path of devotional service of pure devotee, and the result of 9 activities, such as hearing and chanting, become manifested. The transcendental qualities of the Lord are so attractive that Srila Sukhdev Goswami became detached from being completely absorbed in impersonal Brahman and took up the personal activity of the Lord. Since Srila Sukhdev Goswami himself became a saturated devotee, he desired always the transcendental association of the Vishnu Janas, and the Vishnu Janas also liked his association since he became a personal Bhagavata. Without Krishna, all supplementary literatures like the Puranas and the Mahabharata are simply stories or historical facts. But with Krishna, they become transcendental, and when we hear of them, we at once become transcendentally related to the Lord. Last, Krishna and his pure devotees like Pandavas are on the same plane. Krishna is not without his devotees of all the rasas, and the pure devotees of Pandavas are not without Krishna. Sorry, I like always to put a joke in the end because we went through so much heavy. This is all about material education and material needs. This is a waiter telling this person who is learning for his MBA, no use studying so hard, friend. The field is saturated. No more scope. I myself have passed the MBA exam in first class, top B school. So you can become saturated with Krishna consciousness or become saturated with material existence. The results are right there. You know, one is Srimad, one is a Bhagavata, and one is a waiter. So, you know, it's our choice. And the this one also I liked very much. Luckily, your parents don't have ambition for getting compulsory 90% and above marks for you. I have to attend coaching classes after school and then private tuitions late at night. If we put half our energy in what, you know, our kids do for school, guess where they will be? They will become all become Mahabhagavatas. But we are so busy in material education that we never have time for anything. And of course, you know, we ourselves are in this boat also. You know, we often hear, you know, for my job I have to do this, for my home I have to do this. You know, I have responsibility for kids and husband, of course. So I have to do all those things. Life is very nice right now, but I didn't say it. Don't say it. Mananda Sutta is in Dallas. My house is done over by 8 o'clock. I'm free. But you know, it is always that you know, we are always so entangled in our own desires and our own expectations and expectations of people around us, which is worst. You know, we try to please everybody around us and expectations around us that we forget the big picture in the end. Like in this case, you know, the child is not a child and he forgets, you know, what it is, but he is carrying a kind of a baggage thing to carry his books. And we also carry a similar baggage, which is a baggage of people, of expectations all around us. And, you know, we should always try and remember, you know, we have only one person to please, and that is Krishna. There is one person only whose relationship is eternal with us. There is one person only for whom if I do something, it will go with me in my next life. And there is one person only who can give me complete satisfaction and peace within myself. But we ignore that person so nicely, trying to take care of everybody around us who mean nothing to us. The moment I die, you know, I tell Aditi Sachidis, the moment I die, my relationship with you is over. You can keep my picture in your home. It means nothing to me. You know, my relationship is done and over with. So, you know, you also have to figure that out. I also have to figure that out. So,
Krishna, we cannot see directly.
And Guru.
So you have to please Guru.